You all probably don't know how beautiful you are. Well, I wanted to check without them too. Yeah. So, I mean, seriously, you all look pretty good. I mean, some of you are older. I mean, I'll give you that, but some of you are younger too. It's a privilege to be here this morning. And you mean to catch you up last week was simply was a little bit about vision. And if we don't have vision, we perish. We're undisciplined. We're not accomplishing God's purposes. And some of the vision I think that God spoke to my heart about, just to play catch up, is we really need to enter more and more often, not just in worship, but corporate worship. And I don't always know how to explain that to people. If I was to show you a picture of it, there'd be a whole group of people out there and they would sing. And then occasionally they would get past singing and they would start engaging with the Almighty, that they would be worshiping. And then there's that point where it's everybody. And that's where we're, without touching each other, holding hands. And we feel the worship not only between ourselves and the Lord, but with each other and the Lord. And I'll tell you, anytime that I'm praying close to my wife, you might catch, we reach out and hold hands. We touch. Sometimes I just get her leg under the table. But when I'm up here, if I pray up here, I'm going to tell you in my head, because the two together are stronger than those apart. And when we're together, when we join in true corporate worship, there's more power revealed of Jesus Christ than we get any other time. And if it was that'd be fine. But I think the best times in my life have been in corporate worship. And that's vision for this coming year, is that we can consistently join together in worship. And that means more than just sitting here in the pew. It means that actual relationship, that walking in the intentional presence of the Lord God Himself. I could tell you there's some really good books on that you could read, but I'd really rather you just did it. Just worship. And that's when you look at those words, and those words mean something that we're singing. And Katie, thank you. Thank you. It was pretty precious. And some of the songs were written in the white heat of revival where they got it. If it says, if you go through the hymnal and it says, forget the last name, but just says Fanny, if it says Fanny on it, I'll guarantee you that was written, that was penned by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That was penned by a person who got it, who got walking in the presence of God and understood what it is to, in prayer, to hold on to the horns of the altar and really engage with God. It's not a game. It's not a game. It's reality. But the engage word is another part of this yiming. And that's us individually and corporately engaging the lost world, engaging Juno in stronger ways. And over the time I'll talk about it a lot, but in John chapter 5, verse 39, that's where Jesus is talking with the spiritual leaders of the day, and he's telling them, you search the scripture for eternal life, but you won't find it. Because the scripture, Jesus saying, points to him, and you have to come to me. Why? Because he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by him. And it's not just an academic exercise, it's a heart exercise. And Billy Graham often spoke of the 18-inch gap, people who intellectually come to Christ but have never made the heart or spirit jump. And we're called to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're called to engage him in everything, about everything. I was praying this year, this summer, actually, midsummer. And I was saying, God, I've wanted to lose some weight for a long time. And whatever I've done, it just doesn't work well. And that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, have you ever asked me? And the answer is no. And so I said, God, could you cause me to lose some weight? And it's somewhere around 15 pounds. But I'd love to be able to tell you I'm disciplined to myself and in what I'm eating. I have to eat whatever I want to eat. Because God didn't ask me to change that. He just said, did you ask me? And I said, no. And so then I asked him and I've lost weight. And I'd love to be able to medically explain that to you, but I'm not too worried about it. I'm just trying to be obedient. And I'm picking on that because so much of what we do or don't do is involved in submission and how we engage the Lord Himself. This is a constant walk in submission. This is constantly us choosing to do it His way. And we talked briefly about trusting the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Well, we don't do that. As a people, we just don't do that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Choose, He says, over what you think. Choose what He says over what you want. Choose what He says all the time. And that means intentionally walking and talking with God. And if you don't hear in a conversation, I mean, Guy and I can carry on a great conversation, and Guy never talks. So it's not really a conversation, it's a lecture. But when Guy speaks, and Greg speaks, and Guy speaks, and Greg speaks, and it's easy because we can see each other and we can believe because we've had experience. I've heard his voice before. It means my ears have worked. And he's heard my voice before. That means that his ears work. We have the ability to communicate. We talk a lot of, if you talk about speaking and things like this, you talk about there has to be a message and the sender sends the message. But somebody's also got to be prepared to catch, to receive the message and process it and apply it to their lives. Well, why don't we do that with the Lord like all the time? Because if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, because our problem is when we do just the scripture without talking to the author, we start deciding what it should say rather than asking the author. Best commentary on the Bible is by the author. More we submit, the better our walk is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. This is not today's message. Don't lean on your own understanding because we're pretty fallible. And you go, well, I'm capable of interpreting this right, just like the guys on the road to Emmaus were so good at interpreting what had gone on, they couldn't recognize Jesus in their presence. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, it says acknowledge it means to seek Him. In all your ways, seek Him, and He shall direct your path. And I'm telling you, on the cop side of me, things went so much better when I got the Lord, watch over me on this call, guide and direct me on this. And pretty soon you start going, is it possible that I could just walk through this and not ever get hurt? It's possible, but that may not be God's will. And are you willing to accept what God's will for you is? Is? Well, boy, that sounded good. But what He has, are you willing to submit to? And that's the hardest thing out there. Because when we pray something like, God, it's what you want, not what I want. That's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. And we're called to do on this. So we come to today's message. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you. Thank you, God. Thank you for letting us worship. Thank you for letting us worship, whether in giving, whether we put something in the plate or we do the money transfer with the bank. Thanks for letting us engage in that, God. Thanks for letting us be, or at least work at being the people that you've called us to be. Help us to recognize our own fallibility and your perfection. Lord, you're our all in all. You're really all that matters. And do we walk in a way that honors you? God, help us to honor you. Help us to be your people the way you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before I open the Bible, I got one more thing here. I need to say this, kind of an invitation. And this is going to be the Shabbat invitation. There's a group of us that are going to go have Shabbat services at the synagogue on Douglas Island on Cordova Street on Friday night. And brother, are you here for, you're going on Wednesday. We'll do it again. Ron's wife is Jewish, and you've talked to people and they seem to be happy that we're coming. So if anybody's interested, it's at six on Friday night. Friday night. Technically, it starts at sunset on Friday, but that's really strange up here. We're going to go. Usually when Abby and I have gone in Missouri, we went a fair amount over the years. You're going to see some things. There's going to be a different approach. If they open the ark, that means they're going to pull stuff back and bring out the scrolls. You'll find that in the book, most of them are set up so they read from the rear to the front and from the right to the left, because that's the way Hebrew is written. And there's usually translation for everything. I'm assuming that there'll be a lot in English anyway. And if not, do your best. Some words are easier to pronounce than others. If you want to join us, it'll be fun, I think. And here's your Hebrew for the day. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So let's go in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go through it, you will see Jesus through everything. And you know why? Because Scripture points to him. And our friends will not see Jesus in that at this point, because the Bible says that there's scales on their eyes. And we've just been praying, and Ron brought that up on Wednesday night. We're praying that the scales will fall like they did on the Apostle Paul. What a great thing that the people that were chosen before birth to be God's chosen people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm so blessed to have been adopted in. It's exciting. But for those, some of us will, we're going to leave from here. If anybody wants to go at the same time, or we can ride together, whatever, we'll probably leave here at 5:30-ish. On Friday. So you're welcome to join. Don't freak out if I wear a kippah or yarmulke. I own three of them. It covers my bald spot. It's so much warmer than without it. Yes, ma'am. That's why we're thinking about riding together. Woohoo! So I'm not asking for commitments. If you're here, we all go together, that's great. If we meet you up there, that's great. If you don't show up, that's great. All good. All good. And, I heard the word tire. And I'm thinking, studded? My normal thing is business casual, which would count for what I'm wearing right now. And I'm guessing that's adequate. If it requires ties, I'll show up without one, because I don't like ties. Yeah. And I there's terms that you'll learn over the period of time, like observant. And if everybody was being truly observant, the guys would wear kippahs and the women would cover their head. And that's probably not a happening thing. just don't sweat it. I told you that you really look good. You're beautiful people. If you come, just come like come as you are. Okay. And I didn't do a good job on the tune there. So it's a simple thing. It's not complex. And I personally find it very enjoyable. We have a good reputation with the synagogue from which we come. We come from a synagogue that's the oldest continually operating synagogue west of the Mississippi. And we're going to a synagogue that is, what did you say about this one? Oldest in Alaska. Amen. It'll be fun. No, because if I do, I'm going to have to start before that with and go through the whole thing. It's about a dwelling place. I'll just give you that, and maybe we'll talk about it at the next new year as we're coming up on it. There'll be a lot of things that you know and don't know. And if you hear somebody say something, or if you're reading something and you see, heard something like Hamashiach, that's a good word. It's about means Messiah. All kinds of good stuff. But anyway, it'll be a good learning experience, a different view of Old Testament that, than you're routinely familiar with. Anyway, it's there. Yeah, and you're free to come, you're free to stay, you're free to not go. And if they do breaking of bread at the end of it, you're good to participate, you're good to not participate. It's up to them. It's up to you. But just where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So just walk in that. Walk in that. Well, now let's talk scripture a little bit. And you mean, I don't know how you could possibly interpret that as about we're commissioned to something. But I'm just going to, starting in verse 11 in Matthew, the last chapter, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Some of them doubted. And you know, we look at that and we go, well, shame on them. Well, what about us? How many times do you doubt? God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Have you considered what his plan is, and are you willing to engage in his plan? I got to tell you, I've been, Joanna, I'm really proud of you. I'm glad you're back. I've shared with people. Did you know that you had a tear run down your cheek on your first Lord's Supper? When you took it? Yeah, you did. I was watching it. I was watching your facial expressions because I watch people's facial expressions and body language. She gets it. Baptism meant something to her. Lord's Supper meant something to her. Every time that you walk in obedience, it's like it meant something to you. It could be as simple as you had a driving need when you got up, besides going to the restroom, to open your Bible, and you were directed somewhere, and you read it, and you start, and God speaks to you, expands the scripture to you. You should remember that, and you should hold on to those things because they're important to us. So it says, but some of them doubted. That means that we're normal people because sometimes we doubt. And sometimes, you know, I'll think, well, did God say? And I also know that sometimes when I say, did God really say, I'm really quoting Satan. Because in the temptations, so often he said, did God really say? Think through that. Then in verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Wow. He said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. That means the rule of the enemy is over. He just didn't know it at that moment because all authority in heaven and on earth was given to Jesus. This is the guy that by him all things consist, that spoke this into being, that holds it together by his will. All authority on heaven and earth has been given into him Therefore, or because of that, go and make disciples of all the nations, or peoples, legitimately translated, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. This is really simple. People go, well, I don't know a lot yet. Okay, well, what you know is what God requires that you share. What you know is what you're responsible for. And as God puts more in your basket of gifts to give, well, you're just responsible for what He's placed in your hands. And that's it. You're not responsible for everything out there and every word on everything. You're just responsible for what He places in your hands. So go and share that. Has God done anything in your life? Don't answer it here, because I'll get strange answers and really neat answers, and who cares? But at some point, you know what God has done for you. That, share. You can testify to what you saw. This is where I've got to digress just a minute and talk about something I wanted to be least at one point in my life: Southern Baptist. Yeah, I couldn't imagine any denomination worse than us. But actually, there's some pretty redeeming things too. And we come together with similar beliefs on several things. But one of the most important things about us is the fact that we came up, maybe led to the best fielding operation of missionaries the world has ever seen. That, if there's nothing else that we're known for, putting missionaries on the field is a big deal. Big deal. And we do that because part of our offerings annually through this church goes to fund the cooperative program, that foreign missions, North American missions, local missions. And we take up special offerings like Lottie Moon over this Christmas season. And we're coming up on Resurrection Day with Annie Armstrong mission offerings. And then we have a state mission offering that comes up like in August, if it's similar to where it came from. But they're spread out. And they're spread out for reasons, but we don't want to overburden people. But we have an opportunity to spend money so people can go and tell. It's not complex. Not complex. We don't have to have a royal ambassadors. We don't have to have GAs, though it's good stuff. We don't have to do Bible drill, though it's a good thing. But we do fund the greatest mission operation. If I say that the world has ever seen, it's correct. But we believe at the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would tell you that support those things. But part of that Great Commission is you go tell. You go tell. And for the places you can't go and tell, fund other people to go and tell. Why don't you go ahead and turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 5. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? Don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead and bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and it's in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, that doesn't sound necessarily like how to have peace with God. That doesn't sound necessarily like the four spiritual laws. Those little tracts do reflect this, though. What it says is, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Pretty simple stuff. For it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you're saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. I will tell you that trust is a big word. That's where you commit your all. Where you commit your all. My 10 cents at April 1st, 1980, 1:15 in the morning, end of the road, Sitka, Alaska, in the police car, me, God. The only radio on was the little police radio. And I said, God, I've always known there's a God, and Lord, I choose to believe that you're Jesus. I believed in my heart, and I confessed him out my mouth. That's the prayer that I prayed. But I'll tell you, at that instant, I knew what born again was. I knew what born from above was. I knew what Christian was. I knew what converted was, because it was me. It just happened. Well, how did it happen? I believed in my heart on the Lord Jesus and confessed him out my mouth. I didn't know anything about being a Christian, but I was one. But I'll tell you right now, when you were born into this world, you didn't know anything about this world, but you were part of it. You're going to learn, you grow, you know, you can be 72 and we learn every day. You can be 12 and we learn every day. Choose who you're with. Choose where you're going by listening to God. Lord, where do you want me? I still look back on the Sunday morning when I woke up on Douglas Island in my little apartment, and I said, God, it's just not working where I've tried to go to church here in Juneau. Where do you want me to go today? But God, you know how I feel about Southern Baptist. Okay. And I walked in and I sat down and I hardly left. It doesn't seem, but I'm here because God placed me. We came back because I believe you all agreed with God. But what about each day for each one of us? Are you willing to seek his face and just let him lead through the day? I can't believe the obnoxious people that I've dealt with as Cole County Sheriff. I'm picking on that group. That means I deal with people and what's that P word? Oh, yeah, politics. Two worst things about management are PP, personnel, and politics. Always is. You got to work with people. But it amazed me how much easier it is when I pray about the meeting I'm going to and pray for the people I'm going to be in the meeting with. And some of them, I just quite honestly, I do my best to love them, but I despise them. Because I knew what their lives were. I knew what they did. I know why they did what they did. And it was miserable reasons for what they were doing. And yet, God worked through them. Yet, God worked through them. And I recognized that the simplicity of this whole thing is we walk in the garden alone when the dew's still on the roses. And we find out that Jesus walks with us and talks with us and tells us that we're his own. The best days of our lives are the ones that we're walking hand in hand with him. You know, if you ask Evie and she was going to be honest with you, which I'm comforted to know that my wife's a pretty honest person, she would tell you that I'm not necessarily the easiest person to live with. Sometimes she's not the easiest person to live with. It's okay. It's okay. Our sons, I can't tell you how much I love them. My heart breaks just thinking about them at times. I just love them. They're not perfect. They're just not. But I love them. And I think a little of that is a gift from God. Where you can choose to love even if someone's being unlovely at the moment. When I said that looking out, you all are beautiful. You know, you've got mirrors, you know how beautiful you are or you know or not. But I'm trying to look at your heart of hearts. And I'm telling you, you're beautiful. Aaron, you're beautiful. And you don't think of yourselves like, oh, excuse me, you're handsome. But you are. There's a tenderness towards the Lord in your heart that speaks volumes of you. So the question is, what are you going to do with it? Walk and talk with Jesus. This goes on. Well, I'll just go back to 10. For it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you're saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. Remember that. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't say most. It doesn't say just Southern Baptist. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Oh, by the way, we're Southern Baptists because we field missionaries. We field people to go and tell. That's a great thing, but it's not so great for us. It's great that God has chosen to do this through us. And I remember a few years ago when the head of the Assemblies of God was speaking at the Southern Baptist Convention. And what he said was, we're here and we're waiting. And he said, now you know what, you don't know what we're waiting for, but let me tell you what we're waiting for. We're waiting for you to drop the ball. Let's not drop the ball. I'd say invite them in to join with us, but let's don't drop the ball. Let's field people. Let's grow up in our heart of hearts so we're fielded every day on the mission field that God's placed you. Barber Joe, he's part of our mission field, Harold. You know that? Our barber? Yeah. Yeah, we had back-to-back haircuts. Unintentionally. I think he got the better one. Joe's a good guy. He's got a long beard. He said cut 10 inches of 10 inches of it off this year. That'd be like down to here. Foodland. Foodland. Sometimes just finding Christians. What's on the backside of Foodland? Oh, Ace Outdoors. Mark Ormsby. You can rub elbows with that Christian. It's good to find the people that you could rub elbows with. It's good to find the people because suddenly you rub elbows long enough, somebody's going to come along and you'll start tag teaming them. You never know where the moment's going to be. I like that tag team. One day I was walking foot patrol, and this is in Jefferson City, and I do I, of uniformed work. My favorite thing is walking and talking. I know it's shocking. I love foot patrol. I like shaking doorknobs. I like finding burglars in progress. But this one, I'm walking along, and there's a parking lot with an apartment building here and wraparound on this side, and it's just the parking lot for it, and a little brick wall. And there's two guys sitting on a brick wall. And I love when I do this, I also love, what's a good word, sneaking up on people because they're surprised when a cop shows up and they didn't know they were there. It makes them nervous. And I knew who these two guys were, not by name, but by affiliation. I knew that they were Five Deuce Street Bloods out of St. Louis. That means 52nd Street. And I said, what y'all doing? And they said, officer, we're just sitting here and talking. And I go, that's a good thing. And one of them looked at me and he said, you ought to be one of us. And I go, oh, I already belong to a gang. And he goes, yeah, that blue cop one, right? And I go, well, I am that, but no, I'm a blood like you. And he goes, really? What's set? And I go, Jesus Christ, blood of the Lamb. And he goes, that was better than mine. And the other one goes, I suppose you believe that Trinity stuff. And I'm opening my mouth to flood out this volumes of wonderful things. And the guy that had said that I should join them and said, this, what I'm doing is better than what they're doing. But he was right. He looks at the other guy and goes, did your grandma not take you to church? And he goes, you don't believe in the Trinity? And this theological discussion is taking place between two Five Deuce Street bloods. And you know what I was able to do? Just walk away. I knew when my mission was complete there, and my mission was complete at two Five Deuce Street bloods. I hope ended up with two blood-washed children of the king. I don't know the follow-up, but that's a for real story. And so this whole thing is just about us acting out the for real story that God places you in. There's no mistake where you are. There's no mistake that you're walking through a life that's designed to be the Lord Jesus Christ centered. Centered. People do best when they walk under authority. It's just a simple thing to stay under authority. And it's, I'll do it kind of like a Watchman Nee thing here. If you have an umbrella and you want to stay dry, stay under the umbrella when it's raining. Stay under the umbrella. You stay dry. And what's your obligation? Well, you've got people that may be in authority over you, and they've got an umbrella that may be a little bit bigger than yours. So you just keep your umbrella under their umbrella. And when can you get out from under authority? When they're out from under their authority. Because ultimately, you stay under Jesus. And wherever Jesus is, you stay under his authority. Because all authority in heaven and on earth are given unto him. And it's your job, stay under his authority. But staying under his authority means being contented in all circumstances, even when it's hard, even when it's easy. So, what's the worst thing that happens? You join in the sufferings of Christ. And sometime we'll do at least a message, if not a series, on joining in the sufferings of Christ. Because, we get to do that. That doesn't mean that you complete the work of Christ. You just get to join in a little bit. And that became really interesting to me when I look back at my life and the times that I've. Some of the greatest people that I've ever met, I met at the Jefferson City Police Department. It was the most despicable place to work that I've ever worked. But some of the people were great. But it was not a good agency. It became it, it's a little better now. But in the middle of that, there was some, would you say, honest to goodness persecution, Evie? But the end result are the numbers of people that have come to Christ because we walked through difficult times staying under authority. And so many times, I've gone to Evie and said something like, honey, I'm just so sick of this. And she goes, well, has God told you to go? Well, she wouldn't ask hard questions. And I have to go, no. Why are you talking about it? Well, because I'm stupid. It comes down to stay under authority and choose to rejoice in that authority. Because God has a plan. Again, firefighters. Every time you show up, people are going, yay, I'm glad you're here. Police officer, every time you show up, not every time, but most of the time you show up, people are going, why are they here? Except the one who desperately needs you. But, scripture says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. Got a question for you. Have you ever seen a gate used as a weapon? We act like we're under attack. Hold on. Our job is to be on the offensive. We're supposed to go through those gates. And let me tell you, I'm a good breacher. I've done two things on SWAT in my career. I've been a more than one SWAT team. I've been a sniper. I can shoot. And I've been a breacher, and I can open doors. Some doors are harder than others. I know how to do it explosively, but I also know how to use a ram. And I remember down on South Franklin, when there was an apartment that we needed to get into, and we had a warrant, drug house, and I had to breach it, and it was a steel door and a steel frame. So, what do you do? Well, I'll tell you what you do is you pray about it and go, "Oh God, I can't possibly do this, but you can." What do we do? And I remember what God said to my heart was, "Hit the door." Okay. So I took that ram and I hit the door. And when you hit the door and it breaches, no one should stand behind the breacher because when it comes back, you just toss it, let it go. It's a big, heavy chunk of steel. So nobody was in the way that you have to pick up a carbine and then go in. But everybody is charged in. So I'm charging in and they're going clear, 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 clear. And I'm standing holding the door. The door's down. I'm standing on top of it. And they're all going, "Nobody's here, but we know somebody's here." And I look down and there's a hand on each door frame. I took the whole frame out, and the poor guy was right behind the door. Look, there's a peephole. Apparently, he was just getting ready to look out the peephole when the whole thing came caving in. How many times have you been on the one on the other side of the door when your world caved in? It's much better to be on the other side. The Church of the Living God's mission is to go through the gates of hell and rescue the suffering, rescue the lost, to bring peace through Jesus Christ to a lost world. You know, if you think about it, that's the fun stuff. Now, the other side of it is when you go through a gate, there's people trying to defend it or stuff. There's a lot of things going on. What's your job? Stay under authority and walk. Stay under authority and walk. The scripture tells us, and I say that with authority because Jesus said it, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Did you catch the reward there? Yuming referred to it. "And I'll be with you until the end of the age." Well, wait a minute. What was right before that? "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always until the end of the age." This is pretty simple stuff. Pretty simple. It's just doing it's the hard part because you have to get yourself out of the way. JK, is it fun baptizing? Yeah, it is. Probably weren't even tempted to hold her under, right? It is. That's some of the fun stuff. You know, Lord's Supper is fun stuff. You know, when it gets iffy is when God asks you to do something you don't want to do. And like you know better than God, you know, there's something here to consider confessing. God has set us free, and the freedom really is so we can follow Him. You just choose to set you aside and cling to the author and finisher of our faith. Cling to Jesus. We used to say things like, "Pursue Jesus." Well, try to keep up. Try to keep up. He's got plans. And you know what the greatest part of it is he wants you in on the plans. He wants you involved. Reese, I'm so excited for you and your family. And by the way, have a new name for your family. You're the Von Matteo Family Sinners. Evie didn't let me see my favorite Christmas music, Sound of Music this year. I can always pull it up. By the same token, really enjoyed worship this morning. Your fingers do things on the guitar that I can't make my fingers do. Still impressed. We get to rub shoulders with each other. We rub elbows. We get to talk. We get to walk. We get to believe and receive. We get to doubt sometimes and struggle with the doing without. But we get to love on each other. And this is huge. Juno has yet to see the depth of the love of Christ that can come by believers that merely stay under authority. Merely stay under authority. He's not asking you to do anything that he wasn't willing to do. Think about Peter when he was giving up his life. He was so excited when they finally said they're going to baptize. Well, when he tried to get them to, and they did, he baptized him upside down. And his rationale was, I don't deserve to be crucified right side up like my Lord. Wow. Just a sold out Christian who was walking under authority. Just a sold out Christian. That's all he asked of us. He said, everything that he gave us is all. He gave us his all. So I think we're just going to have the song because it's a good song and we should sing and worship. And if there's anything on your heart that you need to deal with before you leave here, I promise you I'll stay up front till the end of the song. But if not, just take the opportunity to worship the King of Kings. Just take the opportunity to walk under his authority and just do it for the next week until we gather again on next Sunday morning. And the proper statement on Friday night, if you go, is Shabbat Shalom, and the correct response to that is Shalom Shabbat. And you go, why is it that way? I don't know. It's what they do. Just love on each other and love on Jesus this week and love on the lost world. Let's pray and then we'll sing. Why don't you stand? Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have together. God, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have together that other countries may not have the same. Father, help us to walk this week in a way that honors you. Help us to walk according to your desire for us. Help us to not just be your people, but to be the people you called us to be. God, help us to accept and walk in the plan you've got for us. Help us to be a blessing to you, God. In Jesus' name.